I'd like to speak for a few moments this morning on the thought of the Spirit-filled mother. This being not only Mother's Day, but this is Pentecost Sunday, where we are reminded of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. How many are thankful that you're not alone today? And although you at some point may be alone in your life naturally, no physical person around you, at least no physical person who understands where you are at, understands your need, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to the Father. The Father has sent His Holy Spirit to be your comforter and your counselor through all times. And we're going to see a mother who is impacted greatly this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of His word. Father, we give you the honor and the glory this morning for all your blessings. And on this Mother's Day, we're so grateful not only for our mothers, but also for our Heavenly Father. As we go to the word this morning, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to continue to move in this place. Give words to the speaker. Give ears to every hearer, not just natural ears, but spiritual ears to hear what your word and your spirit is speaking to us this day. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just one note regarding this evening. This evening, the church will be open from 6 to 8 for a time of prayer. And we're going to be praying for Myanmar and the situation that is there. We'll also be praying for some things in our church. It'll be a night of intercession. So we hope that you can come and join us. We look forward to coming together. Because God's house is a house of prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. The Spirit-filled mother, of which Mary was chief, I believe. This is a scripture that we normally associate and would normally preach on Christmas and that time of the year. But it is a scripture which speaks to us in the day which we are celebrating, Mother's Day and Pentecost Sunday. Mary, the woman who would give birth and also raise our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was Mary a remarkable mother, Mary was full of the Holy Spirit and power. We read in the book of Acts that Mary was among the 120 who were seeking and who were later filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But this, I believe, was not her first encounter. In fact, Scripture teaches that Pentecost was not Mary's first encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. She was well acquainted with her ministry. The scripture that we read this morning tells us that her conception of the Lord Jesus Christ was a result of the Holy Spirit that moving upon her life. And later on, we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, that not only through the power of the Holy Spirit is she carrying the Christ child, but she also prophesies. And when a person prophesies, they don't prophesy simply out of their own heart or their own spirit, but the Bible tells us that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon her. And so she was well familiar with the moving of God's Spirit upon her life. And although her child, the Lord Jesus Christ, was definitely a unique child, him being the Son of God, her calling of mother was not. Her calling of mother was full of challenges. In fact, some of the problems that she was to face in raising Jesus began right at the very beginning of her life. No room, no place for her to have the child. And so she had the Lord Jesus Christ in a manger. And then shortly thereafter, because of the real and present danger of Herod and Herod's officers, she had to find refuge, and the Lord led her and Joseph to the land of Egypt to protect the young child. Full of challenges, full of difficulties that not only Mary faced, but that mothers have faced throughout time and that mothers continue to face today. But the power that came upon Mary and enabled her to not only conceive but raise the Lord Jesus Christ is the power that sustained her through her life, that came upon her in a special way at Pentecost, and it is the same power that is available to every mother who is here today, who calls upon the name of the Lord, that power being the power of the Holy Spirit. Motherhood is one of the highest callings I believe that there is on the earth, is also one of the most challenging callings as well. But it is a calling that God has sent His Holy Spirit to enable His people to do successfully. What is the calling of the mother? What is that high calling? Well, we read about it, and a good place that we can find the calling of the mother is from Proverbs chapter 31. And one aspect of the calling of mother is that she is a keeper at home. She is a keeper at home. Reading Proverbs chapter 31, verse 27, the Bible saying regarding a godly mother or a woman of God is that she watches over the affairs of her household. Now, when that term keeper at home often is brought up, some people, some women and maybe even some men, might take that as some type of term of oppression. But really what it is a title of honor. And it is something that is very key and critical to a household. I like to think of mother, and maybe I'm thinking this solely in remembering my mother growing up and of course being with my wife as mother in our household. I like to think of my mother or mothers as being a key gear in the machinery of the household. She's that part of the household that is so essential, so necessary, that it keeps the rest of the household going. It is the wife who does what? Well, I know different people take care of chores and have different responsibilities in the home, the husband and the children, as well it should be. But who's the person that makes sure that everything is done? Make sure there are clean clothes. Make sure there's plenty of food in the refrigerator. Make sure there's a tasty meal. Make sure the person who is up to date, maybe not all the time, but in most instances, up to date with all the children's needs and schedules, whatever medicine they might need, when they need to go to soccer practice, when the shoes are getting too small, when new clothing is needed. I would tell you, not 9 times out of 10, I would say 99 times out of 100, the person who's responsible or makes sure all of these things come to pass is the mother. You know, in my own home, if the menu was left up to me, we'd be eating a lot of hot dogs and spaghetti, and probably a lot with the same meal. You get what I'm saying? And You know, when shoes get too small, I'd probably say, well, I'll try to tough it out and stuff your foot in there a little bit longer. But mothers, I guess some of you do that too. But mothers in the home, they make sure everything flows smoothly. I mean, as fathers, we're very comfortable in our role as protector and provider. But it's the mother who has the burden, carries that load, that responsibility to make sure the house runs smoothly. And this is not just as far as clothing and things of that nature. The wife, according to Scripture, is very critical regarding the economics of the household. You know, some people think that working moms is something new or something recent. But the Bible tells us it's something that's been going on for a very, very long time. Reading the book of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 17 and 18, talking about a godly mother, the woman of God. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. It talks about her in the Scripture considering buying a field, planting a field, planting a vineyard, and reaping a profit from that. And is not that what happens in almost every home today? That the wife, in some way, or the mother, is involved with not only making sure everything runs and flows smoothly, but in the provision of the home. Mothers are working to help and doing things in order to help pay the bills. But in addition to this, and some mothers have the blessing where they don't have to work. And I thank God there was a time when my wife didn't have to work. She was able to spend time at home, but now she's working and helping out in that area. But even if the wife isn't working, she still has tremendous economic input and economic impact upon the family, especially today. Think of what is going on, especially at the gas pump. And that's not the only cost that is rising. There are also food costs that are rising. And so who is the one who has to be more creative in causing the food budget to stretch from week to week? Generally, it's the mother. You know, if I could use myself as another example, I'm one of those guys that if a sign tells me that a deal at the end of the aisle is a good deal, I'm going to believe that sign. But I don't do that anymore because a couple times that I bought something that said they were a good deal turned out not to be too much of a good deal. And the way I found that out wasn't through divine inspiration. It was my wife who told me, hey, listen, you paid a little too much for that. You could have got a better deal elsewhere. It's the wife who has a tremendous impact trying to stretch the food budget, to keep food on the table, to keep clothes on everyone's back. The burden of the household rests on the mother. The mother is also called to be a teacher and a mentor. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, speaking of the woman of God, a godly mother, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongues. You know, both parents, father and mother, we both have the responsibility to train our children in the way they should go, as the Bible teaches us. But the person usually with the biggest impact on the spirituality of our children is mom. Mothers, with their loving, caring hearts, spend so much more time with their children than fathers, generally speaking. And some of the greatest lessons that mothers give their children are lessons in character, the intangible things. In the book of Proverbs chapter 31, we see many qualities of high character that a woman of God or a mother of God is to display. Hardworking, diligent spirit, skillfulness, person who is shrewd in business, a person who is dignified, a person who has strength, not just physical strength, but spiritual strength, emotional strength. One who demonstrates great godly qualities such as wisdom, compassion towards others, especially the needy and the poor. One who honors God. A woman of faith One who, in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has a relationship that is marked by both wisdom and obedience. But this calling is a daunting calling, because to be this teacher and this mentor in the home, and this is not just something that rests upon mothers, it rests upon everyone, but especially with mothers, because of their close relationship with their children. Providing for the home and being this good, godly model. This goes along with doing all the other things that are associated with life. Third calling, great high calling of motherhood, is that of love. One critical element, and no matter what you have been called to do as a believer, is that of love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The greatest of these is love. And mothers also have the great responsibility to love, or to show care and compassion to their children. Children look to their fathers, and they do for love. They also do for protection, for advice and guidance and different things in life. But for the most part, who do children turn to when they've skinned their knee, when they've been frightened by a bad dream or maybe something that happened outside, when they're really upset or frustrated over some of the things that happened to them in their lives? Most of the time, children seek solace in the loving arms of their mother. But mothers are not only people who have been called to love their children, they've also been called to love the big kids in their home, their husbands. And husbands need husbands need the care of their wives. Husbands, you know this to be true. You can and you will, if you haven't already, you surely will suffer many defeats and failures in your life. It's part of life. Dreams and aspirations that you have won't always come to pass. Some things you plan hard, some things will be successful, other things will not be. They can be very difficult on a husband. But if a husband has a loving, supportive wife at home, it will make all the difference in the world. Instead of succumbing to defeat and all the things that come to defeat, with a loving wife who's there to support and to encourage him, it will help him not give in to defeat, but to press forward in God and to what God has called them to do. And in looking at all that mothers are called to do, to love, to teach, to be that godly example, to be strong in spirit, to be that chief mechanism at home, it seems, and it is, overwhelming. How can I be a good mother? Plus, I need to be faithful to God. I need to continue my devotional life. I need to, because I'm part of the body of Christ, be involved. You know, I'm sure God is speaking to me, and God has spoken to me as far as what my role is in the body. I have responsibilities in the community and perhaps with my job, and so I need to do things there and serve those areas with excellence. How can I accomplish all these things? It seems too much. And mothers at times feel that way. I've heard it. Mothers have testified to me, and as a father, sometimes I feel that way as being a parent or as being a pastor. It can be overwhelming. But bless God, God has not called us to a place of failure. God has called us to a place of success, and it's through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Mary, as she stood before the angel, and the angel was telling her all these things that were going to happen, how she was going to conceive a child, and it wasn't going to be just any child. This child was going to be the Son of God and do great things. Can you imagine her heart when she heard these things? I would have been speechless, but she had enough within her to say, "How will this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born of you will be called the Son of God." Verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. And so it is, mother. You don't have to look at raising your children with fear and wondering, I don't know if I'm going to do a good enough job. I don't know if I'm up to the task. Because the Bible tells us that whatever God has called us to do, He will be faithful to empower us to accomplish, including being a mother. Philippians 4:13 reading, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Think of Mary. Mary was a mighty woman of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit was moving and working in her life, not just in the conceiving of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the raising of the Christ child. Now, albeit, because of who Jesus was, Mary could have been a terrible mother, and Jesus would have been just as wonderful and just as powerful because He is the Son of God. But Scripture gives us several glimpses into Mary's life that show her she was a mighty woman of faith. She believed in the Scripture that we read this morning. When she heard the Word of God, despite its absurdity, despite its impossibility, she believed that she was going to conceive this child. She, as I mentioned earlier, was someone who moved in the gifts of the Spirit. She uttered a beautiful portion of Scripture later on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, which is now known as the Magnificat. And it wasn't just a happy word she had on her heart. It was a word from God that the Holy Spirit empowered her to give, in which we have today. She was a woman of godly character who possessed a meek and a quiet spirit. Think of her as a time 12 years later, when Jesus, after they had left the temple to go back to Nazareth, Jesus was not with them. And so Mary and Joseph went to look for Christ. And they found Him at the temple disputing and discussing Scriptures with the temple rulers. And they admonished Jesus. And Jesus responded, I need to be about my Master's business. And how did Mary respond? Well, the Bible tells us that she pondered those things. She didn't get into an argument with the Lord Jesus, but because she discerned who He was, she was quick to listen, slow to speak, and listened and pondered those things in her heart so that she could learn and know more about who Jesus was and what Jesus would accomplish in His life. But even though she was a woman of meek and quiet spirit, she was also a woman of great boldness. Before Jesus actually began His ministry, He attended a wedding in a place called Canaan. And during the process of celebrating this wedding, a terrible social mishap happened. They ran out of wine. And Mary heard this. She found out about this. And she knew that this was just a terrible thing to happen. It would be like going to a picnic and there'd be no hamburgers. You know, it was just awful. And so what did she do? She knew who Jesus was. She knew what Jesus was able to do. And so boldly she goes, they have no wine, with the impression that you need to do something about it. Now, she did not do so disrespectfully, but she did so with great boldness, knowing that Jesus was able, but also knowing that Jesus was approachable. And what happened? Jesus responded to her plea and provided wine at that wedding by turning water into wine. A woman of great boldness, boldness being an aspect of ministry of the Holy Spirit. And she was a woman of great compassion and great strength. It would be horrible to lose a child. I've heard this a number of times from parents who have lost children. It, unfortunately, in the process of life, it happens. And almost without question, every time I've spoken to someone who has lost a child, says it is the worst thing to experience in your life, to have a child go on before you. Mary not only lost Jesus when He died on the cross, Mary was there with Jesus the whole way. I would hate to see my child die, but I could not watch my child be executed. But Mary, because she loved Jesus, and she was devoted to Christ, was there, I think, not only in an act of worship, but in an act of love and encouragement to the man that she bore, the Son of God, the man that she raised, she wanted to be there for him. A horrendous way for anyone to die, but she did so, showing great compassion for the Son of God and great strength. And where was the source of her godliness, her faith, her spirituality, her boldness, her compassion, her strength? It was in the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon her life. Once again, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born to you will be called the Son of God. God's plan for Mary in this great task of bearing the Lord Jesus Christ, of raising Him, of being with Him, was not a task that God put upon her to fail, but to be successful. I find raising children, normal children, challenging. And I think every parent here would agree with me. Can you imagine having the responsibility of raising the Son of God? What pressure must have been upon her shoulders. But she accomplished it, and accomplished it well. Why? Because she was someone special? No. Because she was full of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in her life. And you know what's wonderful about that? Is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as wonderful and as precious as it was upon Mary, is here for every one of us, whether you're a mother or whatever, God has called you to do, is there for you. Reading Isaiah chapter 11, 2, the Bible says, regarding the Spirit of God's power or anointing upon our lives, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him. And it talks about the nature of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, one of wisdom and understanding, that which gives guidance to your life. Not only as a mother do you know that you're called by God, but God will give you every tool you need to accomplish it and accomplish it well. You might not be sure what to do with this child. Your child, because they are a unique individual, they will go through hardships and difficulties. We like to think when we have children, they'll be perfect. We're going to have Wally and Beaver, and everything's going to be happy. And in 30 minutes, everything's going to be fine. But that's not how life works. They're different from you. In fact, you're going to have one child, and then you'll notice the next child you have, should you choose to have another child, and God bless you with another child. Everything you learn with that first child won't apply to this next child. You'll have to learn everything all over again. But bless God, we don't have to worry about what I'm going to do, how I'm going to handle this situation that my son, my daughter, my children, what they are going through. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will give us the wisdom. And let me share this. Some of you might be going through some situations with your children today, and you might not be hearing from God. Well, let me tell you, don't give up praying for your child, and don't give up believing for your child. Because sometimes if God's not telling you to do something, what He wants you to do is nothing. Just let God handle it. It's a tough place to be. As parents, we want to reach into our child's lives and make everything right. But that might not be God's path for them. Trust God. Put it in God's hand. When it is time, if you are truly following the Lord Jesus Christ, when it's time for you to act, when it's time for you to speak, the Lord Jesus Christ will move upon you to do so. That's how God moves. So don't be discouraged if you're not hearing anything. God is a God who gives wisdom and understanding regarding being a mother and a father. Amen? Bless God. This is Pentecost Sunday. God is also a God of counsel and of power. I don't know about you. There are many weeks that I wonder how myself, how physically, how mentally, how emotionally I can get through the week. How can I do my job? How can I shuttle the kids from A to B? How can I make time? I don't want to shortchange my family, but I've got responsibilities at my job, and I've got other responsibilities here, and I've got responsibilities at the church. How am I going to do it all? You ever felt that way? You're not doing enough if you haven't. No, I'm just kidding. Well, sometimes we got to be careful, and sometimes it's a matter of wisdom. You know, we're doing too much, and we need to cut back. But there are some times when being overextended is unavoidable. But bless God, God is not just a God who gives us wisdom and direction and guidance and ideas. He's also a God who gives us strength. Let me share you a separate example outside of parenting. There are times when weeks are such where I don't know what I'm going to speak on a Sunday morning, or I don't have as much time as I would like. Yet I can't say, well, you know, I didn't have much time. I'm just going to show a video. But bless God, God is faithful. In fact, I remember once, and I was in Kentucky pastoring, had no idea what I was going to preach, and it was a real full work week. You know, I worked a full-time job, and a lot of times I worked 6 days, and if I had real long days, it was tough. In about 15 minutes, God gave me a message and just jotted it all down, and it was there. And that wasn't the only time that had happened. God is faithful to strengthen you and to empower you to do whatever He has called you to do. In your body, in your mind, in your spirit. He will sustain you. He will give you that endurance. He'll give you that mental and emotional toughness. He'll multiply your time. You ever feel like you won't have enough time? Well, God can multiply time just as He multiplied. You know, they didn't believe He could multiply bread and fish. But if He can multiply bread and fish to feed over 5,000 people, how much more so could He multiply a 7-day week? Absolutely. And of course, the Holy Spirit working and moving in us, mothers, but also the rest of us, does so through knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He is able to keep you close to Him. You know, one of the most important things, I touched on it earlier, but let me touch upon it again. One of the most important gifts you can give your child is a godly example. It's godly character. It's something that they will take with them the rest of their lives. A good meal, you know, that nice meatloaf meal that they love, they'll enjoy that for a few minutes and then it's gone. But your life as a person of godliness and character will stay with them for the rest of their lives. But it's tough. It's tough. You know, we're trying to give in to people, but we also need to be people who are growing in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't even have to do that all by ourselves. For the Spirit of God is the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Not fear where, I better not step out of the house today because I know God's going to throw a lightning bolt at me. It's a healthy respect or an honoring of God. I love God. I want to because of the love of God. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. I want to because of the love of God in my heart and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk before God with all of my heart. I want to know Jesus in a greater way. I want to know His Word. I want to be the best mother. I want to be the best father. I want to be the best brother, sister. I want to be the best son or daughter. I want to be the best that I can be, because the Holy Spirit is moving me to a place of excellence, the desire to be excellent, to progress farther in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moving upon us. I'd like our mothers to stand. Actually, if everyone would stand this morning in the name of Jesus, and if our musicians would come. Bless God. Hallelujah. And as we're standing this morning in God's presence, mindful of not only the great responsibility that we have, that mothers have, that fathers have, we should above all be mindful of the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us in Jesus' name. And so this morning, and, you know, husbands and wives, if you just take one another's hands in the name of Jesus, you're going to believe together. If you'd like to take the hand of the person next to you, we're just going to pray for one another regarding our calling as parents, as mothers, but also as fathers, because today is Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Spirit hasn't just come to empower mothers, but fathers, pastors, deacons, teachers, whatever we might be. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would rest upon us and empower us to be the father or the mother that He has called us to be. Amen? He's going to be not to be the mother or the father to the best of our ability, to the best of God's ability. In the name of Jesus. We're going to believe God together in Jesus' name. And we're going to pray not only for that, but that God would give us a hunger and a desire to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Amen? God wants to fill us. God wants to dwell with us. But we have to be willing to walk with Him and walk in His Spirit. Let's pray this morning in Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank You so much for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. We thank You, dear Jesus, for being with us here today. But Lord, above all, we thank You, Lord, that You're with us every day and that You desire to help us to be parents, brothers, sisters. Lord, whatever You have called us to be, Lord, You have called us to be people, Lord, of excellence, to fulfill whatever You have called us to do successfully in the name of Jesus. But God, help us to realize that if we are to be a successful parent, if we're to be successful in our calling, Lord, in our homes or our jobs and in our church, we cannot hope to be successful in just looking to ourselves. But we need to understand it's not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so, God, we also pray that You would not only touch us and fill us and empower us, Lord Jesus, but that You would give us an incredible hunger and desire to walk in the power of Your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, not to lean upon our own strength, but help us in everything to lean upon You. In Jesus' name. And God, we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As our worship team begins to sing, we're going to open up the altars as we sing a chorus of worship tonight. For any who would like to come, perhaps the Spirit of God is dealing with you in your heart regarding motherhood, but it might be some other aspect of God's divine calling upon your life. God did not call you to do that by yourself, but has sent His Holy Spirit to empower you to do that to the best of His ability. And so God wants to this morning, I believe, if your mind isn't there, to transform your mind from a mindset that says, I can't, to a mindset that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as we begin to worship, if the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, if your heart is broken, you know you need a genuine touch of God this morning, we invite you to come as we worship this morning.